And welcome to Buffalo Wild Wings, the old school one, 7030 Northwest 105th Street, Overland Park, Kansas. Jay Binkley, the Fans Football Show. No Mitch Schwartz this week. He's doing some things. I think Cal's in a big game this weekend, right? College game days out there. A couple linebackers here with me, former Chiefs linebackers. Well, Sean Barber, of course, and Chiefs and Bass, and Desmond Moses. My dude, Desmond. Desmond and I
What's up, baby?
He's one of the only guys to hit Tom Brady in that playoff game back in 2016, and I bring that up all the time. So we have a couple of ex-linebackers. I was a former linebacker.
Yes, you guys, sir,
played in the pros. I was a high school legend.
I know a lot of those.
Yeah. I've always said if it wasn't for speed and talent, I'd been there with you guys.
You had know-how, though. That's the one thing I tell everybody. Linebackers with the quarterbacks of the defense.
Correct.
I agree with you guys.
So it ain't all about your athleticism and your speed. It's about you have to have that intelligence, right? You got to be able to process, learn the formations, the adjustments, gap control, your eyes control your feet. Your feet tell you, take you to the play.
And you have to be a great communicator because it all starts from the middle back. You know?
Man, we talk about it all the time.
Barber loves to communicate, especially on text. Especially on text. Anyway, we're out here at Buffalo Wild Wings, 105th at Overland Park, the Fans Football Show. We do this every single week. We've been doing it on Thursdays. Now we're doing it on Fridays. Next week we'll be out in Independence, Missouri, 20110 East Jackson Drive. Sean Barber, Barbershop, will be out there with me in Independence next week. They've got a lot of stuff going on, including the Buffalo Wild Wings Foundation in October for youth sports. If you donate $5, you get a coupon for 6 free wings. Starting Wednesday every day, this Wednesday, you get the sick pick 6, $19.99. 2 drinks, 2 entrees, and 2 sides, but the Bud Light 20 ounces, always, always $5.
Now, Bink, I know a little bit about pick sixes. You know what I'm saying? When you said you had that pick six promotion, I was thinking about those 1, 2, 3, 4 pick sixes that I had in my illustrious career.
Sean Barber, drafted by the Washington Redskins, played with the Philadelphia Eagles twice, played Kansas City, finished his year with Houston. Desmond Moses went to Iowa and Tulane.
Yes, correct.
And, of course, played with the Kansas City Chiefs. Glad you guys are here because I want to talk about this defense tonight. But Sean Barber likes to bring up his stats. I know his stats better than he does.
Yeah, I was better indoor than outdoor. Something like that. I don't know.
No, he was terrible indoors.
Terrible indoors.
Yeah, he had a great record outside, but indoors, no wins. Mahomes the opposite because he wins in size. He's never lost. Mahomes 4-1 in retro roofs, but he's 11-0 in dome steams. Barber cannot play indoors.
And you probably didn't notice. I grew up watching Barbershop, man. I grew up in Willenboro, New Jersey.
So did I, man. I was a little kid watching Barber, you know.
Man, he had the big horse collar on his deal, man. I was, wearing number 11. Him and Derek Johnson, man, I grew up on those guys.
That's some of the
best linebackers in the world.
Barber was so good. That 2002 Eagles team was so good. Went to the NFC title game. Barber was on it. He and Brian Dawkins led the way.
Man.
I mean, they were neck and neck, top tackles for that team. Andy Reid's only coach of the year, 2002.
Wow.
Barbershop.
That's right.
Happened to be on that team. He and Brian Dawkins leading that way. But he was all over the place for Philadelphia.
I can't wait to remind Andy about that. Hey, man, you know that Coach of the Year award, Barbershop has something to do with it.
Hey, so you earned him.
He hadn't got one since, and he just keeps winning since. That's the way he is. To win Coach of the Year, you got to suck and then be good, right? You can't be good continuously. Even though Belichick found a way to win it 3 times. Imagine that. But
he knows somebody.
You got to know somebody. Awesome.
All right, fellas, we'll dive into the running back situation and the and, of course, the wide receiver situation that they face now. But this defense for this Chiefs team and going back to last week with the Chargers, smash them out there.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes down 19-4 in his career in September. He's an amazing 18-1 on the road in the division.
Wow.
That might be his craziest stat. That and the fact that he's only had 4 games where he's lost by more than one score. But 18-1 on the road in the division is ridiculous.
He's comfortable on the road.
I mean, there's a lot of towns in this country that should send Father's Day cards to Kansas City because of what the Royals are doing to him and what the Chiefs are doing to him. But that defense, standing up and make plays, they don't have a single running back that's gone over 50 yards against this team. They're doing incredible against the run. They're stepping up most because of wide receivers, obviously Rashee Rice.
Absolutely.
Out at this point. But this defense is no joke. I thought it'd be top 10 last year. Ended up being much, much better, and finally people start talking about it. But how good would you put this defense right? Is it better than last year, in your opinion?
It's hard to say. Last year they had so much death, even losing a young guy. My man on the edge, who I truly loved, went down to the Saints.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they just lost a little bit of depth. But I think even you know, Ladarius Sneed, I think he was one of those guys who, you know, very hard to replace. But Tremari Connor, he's playing like a big dog right now. He's in his second year. He's a guy that has to step up, and that's where you're going to see some of the biggest improvements in guys from year one to year two. I think they just have a lot of confidence, and you got to look back at the coordinator. You got to look right at Spags, man, the way he's able to plug guys in, have them play with confidence, have them play hard, have them play together. That means they're getting coached up well in practice.
Yeah, Shamari Connie's a beast. Of course, you're from that area out there. You went to Richmond. You're from Virginia area.
Yeah, Virginia Tech. That's close enough. Blacksburg.
He went to Virginia Tech. I liked when they made that pick. They made it in Kansas City, right? Rasheed Rice was drafted. I love the Shamari Connor pick. Dude led Virginia Tech in sacks his first year at Virginia Tech as a defensive back. So it's like, man, this guy he can play safety, plays nickel, can do a lot of different things. Well, he's had a couple games where you look and say, it's a Shamari Connor game.
Ball players from Virginia are known for our versatility.
I've never heard that.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. There's a lot of things you're going to learn tonight. But
except Michael Vick was from Virginia, wasn't he?
Versatility. Yeah. That's the one thing we are. So no matter what position you play.
You ever heard that, Desmond?
Yeah, you know, him and AI, man, I was a big AI fan. He was a football player.
Wide receiver in high school. I got a scholarship off being a wide receiver. Got moved to wide receiver to corner.
Then what happened? You couldn't get it?
Then I got moved from corner to safety. Then I got to move safety to linebacker. So, yeah, versatility is something that pays off. You know what I'm saying? They call you a jack of all trades.
Yeah, jack of all trades.
Just the guy.
Master of none.
Coming up like Atlanta with his defense, I mean, there was a time and day, and Desmond, you know, you were part of some of these teams too. You got a little scary to go with this defense. You're part of a defense, as I mentioned. I always talk about it. You're the only one that hit Tom Brady in that playoff game. You win in Houston, then you go to New England. That's when J-Mac was hurting that game and everything. You're the only one that hit him, although it was after the whistle, and you got a fine for it, I think, and a penalty for it.
Cost me $30,000.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, because he hit him late. But I always remember that because Desmond was the only guy to hit Tom Brady in that game.
That's your perspective, that it was late.
I
think me and Dez thinking it was on time.
I'm just glad somebody hit Tom Brady.
I think that was on time.
I had a call with Troy Vincent that next Monday. He said, it was a step late. Oh, that's going to be 30.
But you know what, though? I'm tired of them finding the Chiefs because their ratings, they just came out. But for three of the top five games this year have been Kansas City Chiefs game, but different story for a different time. But the Atlanta game, you know, when it comes down to it, Desmond, as I mentioned, there came a time and day, it's like, you want to put that offense on the field all the time. You want to go for two, whatever. Now, you don't go grab a beer, go to the bathroom when this defense is on the field.
At all. These guys are so exciting right now. They're turning over the football. You know, they're controlling the field position. And that's what defense is about. It's a lot easier to play defense in the National Football League. And Barbershop can attest, when you have a quarterback that you trust in, an offensive coordinator that you trust in, and quite frankly, you get a lot of time to rest. You know, so as a defender, once you get to go out there, you're ready to go. You know, you got your ears pinned back, ready to go make some plays. And I think these guys are even starting to pace themselves a little bit to the fourth quarter when it's time to go make some plays, especially my man 9-5.
I know a lot of these guys, Sean. The defense got a little swagger now, these ambassadors. Because before it was all about offense, right? Oh, you played offense. Now the defense can walk around a little bit. Hey, Chris Jones is all business, too. I heard his press conference today.
Man.
This dude's just all business. And you know what? There's a lot of outside noise. And I credit the Chiefs, Sean. I don't know how they keep doing it. But they keep winning close games. I always thought great teams win close games, or good teams win close games. Great teams win them consistently.
Yeah.
And they just find a way. I don't know if it seeps in the back of your mind, like, oh, no, we're going to lose another game. You were part of some good teams. Did you always have that feeling, you know, Donovan McNabb, whatever, is going to take you down and win?
I mean, I think defensively it's it starts inside, man. You have pride in the defense. You have pride in the D-line. D-line has to control the line of scrimmage. And so, we always talk about 9-5. We talk about Chris Jones, right? He's the president, CEO of Sac Nation. He's always doing his thing. But, man, you got to spread some of that love to the Greek Freak, Mike Dana, Wharton, MVP, right? Purnell has always been playing at a high level. And then we also got to even mix Leo Chenault in that because he's been playing a little bit of a – you know, a little three technique, five
technique.
How about
that play?
Seven.
How about that play he made on that tackle for loss on Nick Bolton's play?
Leo's been all – he's really developed. You know, Mike Pinnell's one of those guys, too. Very underrated. People don't talk about it. He was here on his first Super Bowl, then went. He was on a practice squad. Comes back. He brings some of that toughness to this team, too.
But all of these guys I just mentioned, those are the fundamental pieces you need to build any kind of run-stop defense.
Yep.
You will never have a defense – stopping the run because you have a bunch of all-pro linebackers unless you got all-pro guys in front of you. They got to eat up double teams. They got to eat up all those offensive linemen. They got to keep you clean so you can flow to the ball and make plays. Obviously, I mean, look at the running backs we've gone against, right? We've gone against King Henry. We've gone against Bijan.
Real guys.
We're about to go against Alvin Kamara. Right?
King Henry, 46 yards on 13 carries. Bijan, 31 yards. Total, J.K. Dobbins, 32
man.
Yards
Serious
in
guys.
That game. And Zach Moss back with Cincinnati, only 34 yards. Lamar got his, though. He had 122 in that game. But they're stopping the main
He's
running
an outlier.
Backs. And this week, it's Alvin Kamara, who's limited practice this week, but it was the same hits and stuff last week. But he ended up playing almost – he had over 100 total yards between receiving
He's
and rushing.
Insane.
He's going to play. They got to stop him.
Yeah, we'll find a way to game plan against him. Obviously, like my heyday, right, back in the playing days, the Giants had a guy named Tiki Barber. We knew he was going to touch the ball 30 to 35 times a game. So no matter what the play was called, they were going to find a way to generate and organize so that offense was going to get the ball in his hands because he was such a playmaker.
Oh, yeah.
The Saints are doing the same thing with Alvin Kamara. They're finding different ways, whether it's through the pass, through screen games, out in the flat, just getting him one-on-one with linebackers, and he's been winning. Over 100 scrimmage yards every week so far this season. And unfortunately, I mean, it's hard to stop a guy from getting 100 yards when he's getting almost 30 touches a week.
But you know what? I think they have a game plan to stop it. You know, he's very similar to a Christian McCaffrey, a guy who's going to get some touches out of the backfield, into the flat, in the pass game, and a run game. And the Kansas City Chiefs have done a tremendous job both times in really, really big games versus Christian McCaffrey. And I think they'll do the same. But it's going to be a heck of a challenge, especially when these guys line up all over the place.
And they play good quarterbacks, too. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, it's Lamar Jackson. You're playing Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
You're playing Justin Herbert.
Derek Carr is no slouch.
And Derek Carr, too, it was coming in this weekend. It's going to be above 30 degrees, so Derek will be fine.
You're not going to get me to say Joe Burrow is a good quarterback.
Okay, well,
you're not going to get me to say
that. What are you calling him?
I'm just saying he's average.
He's a guy. He's just a guy.
He's a Jag. He's just a guy.
Well, you guys played with good quarterback, Donovan McNabb.
That's what I'm saying.
You played with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I played with Aaron Rodgers. He was pretty good.
Yeah,
he still is.
We know good and great quarterbacks when we see it, but Joe Burrow's isn't one.
Of course, Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he's good.
That's a great backup to have, man.
When his number's called, he's good. Good in the woods.
That's a great habit. But Nick Bolton, what do you guys think about him being former linebackers? His role had that one game where he wasn't so good in pass coverage, but he's been fine the rest of the time. But are they missing Willie Gay? We'll see him this week with the Saints. Or
100%.
Are you okay with this crew right now and Nick Bolton stepping up and doing what he does?
I think they're missing Willie just because of his versatility.
He's very good in the pass coverage. By the way, when he came out of the draft, he was number one.
Well, not only that, man, this guy can come off the edge, and he's a bigger back, you know, a guy that could really run, still quick twitch. He could cover some of those running backs, those tight ends out of the backfield. You know, I think he's a guy that's truly missed, even more so than L'Jarius Sneed, I think. Just because L'Jarius Sneed, there's so much depth in the back end. That linebacker got a little thin. But you got a guy right now, formerly known at number 54, Nick Bolton. He's playing like a big dog, and Kansas City's going to need him too.
Yeah, Nick Bolton, it was funny in Missouri because every week he'd come in and say, man, did you see Nick Bolton this weekend? He just lights people up. But still, one of the best moves by Brett Veach, the GM who just got his 200th win as GM.
Yeah.
He got Orlando Brown, and he got pick 58, which turned in to Nick Bolton. As a GM, you got to continue to do stuff like that. And they've been drafting heavy defense. Is this defense kind of where you'd want it right now? Or is there – the secondary's loaded. I mean, we see the safety position, all that's loaded with this team. And Jaden Hicks, I can't wait to start seeing this guy play more and more because I think he's legit. But they brought back the defensive line this year. Next year, they may not bring everybody back. They brought the whole crew back this year. Is there one area where you say, all right, linebacker, what is it? Was there one area on this defense you say, all right, we need to strengthen this part?
I mean, you got two linebackers here, so obviously we want the linebackers to,
well, yeah,
to stay.
We got three, Sean. Then, don't forget about me.
Oh, yes. My bad. We got three linebackers currently on the mic. So, yes, the linebackers position, obviously, like I said, it's the quarterback of the defense. And so, I mean, listen, at times you're going to go against tight ends or you're going to go against some slot receivers that, they're going to have you out on the aisle. And offense is going to do what they do. They try to isolate and get you by yourself in pass coverage. And if that's not your strong point, then, there's going to be times where you might give up a first down. You might give up some yardage. But when it comes to that red zone and the field gets shortened and it comes to fourth downs, you need a big play. I mean, that's when the guys, that's when you can really sharpen your teeth as a backer and really, fine-tune what you do. And the quote I heard from Nick Bolton was, he watched so much film on the Falcons that in that game, in that scenario, fourth quarter, on that fourth down, he knew the formation, he knew the blocking scheme, he knew where he needed to shoot to go make a play, and he did it. That's the kind of you can't go by that. You can't just find that sitting on the shelf somewhere. That's instinct. That's the way he plays.
The thing about it was, it was dumb for the Falcons because there was less blockers than Chiefs defenders, and they run east west instead of north south with Bijan. Nick Gold made a great play, but that was a terrible play call.
I want you guys to go back and watch Leo Chanel on that play, man. He ate up two blockers out of an eight technique when you literally got to kick a guy's tail directly
strong
back,
dude.
And you got a little, you know, he's getting a little help on the side, pound for pound. An extremely strong guy, but a heck of a play. That allowed Nick Bolton to flow freely into the backfield and get a TFL. Man, you rewatch that play. That was Leo Chanel's play. But, man, shout out to Nick Bolton.
I know the linebackers and some defensive linemen are linebackers' best friends. I remember Derek Johnson always telling me that. When he brought Poe in, it keeps people off me, man. I absolutely love that. We're Buffalo Wild Wings, 105th and at Metcalf Avenue. $5, 20-ounce Bud Lights the entire night. Desmond Moses, former Kansas City Chief. Sean Barber, former Kansas City Chiefs. They're both Chiefs ambassadors at this point. Quentin Morris back in the studio producing the operation. Take a timeout. We come back. I want to talk about the wide receiver position and what you guys would do. Jody Fortson, by the way, the tight end, was activated today to the roster. We'll get that stuff next. Welcome back to 96.5, The Fan. The Fans Football Show. Jay Binkley, former Chief Sean Barber.
Back to back. Welcome back.
Moses. Our text line and phone number, 913-586-7965. That's also Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Shout out Jay Southland Tow. I had to use him the other day. Had to get a little jump start, right? Jay Southland Tow was right there, so give him a lot of credit for that. The Buffalo Wild Wings, 105th at Metcalf out here. This one's been here longer than Barber was a pro, man. I mean, this is old school. This is the oldest Buffalo Wild Wings in Kansas City.
Is that right?
The 26th oldest in the country. 1999 is when they first opened. I remember going here when it first opened and say, hey, we got a Buffalo Wild Wings in the city, and I'll drive out here and go to that. But you get that 20-ounce Bud Light all night when we're doing the show. $5 for 20 ounces of Bud Light. Plus, you can sign up for that gigantic Travis Kelce bobblehead by Bud Light, and also the Bud Light Super Bowl neon sign. You can sign up right here inside Buffalo Wild Wings on 105th.
Am I allowed to sign up for all the stuff?
You're allowed to do whatever you want.
Nice. That's what, you know what, Bing? That's why me and you get along. I can't get along with C-Dot. I can't get along with Rob, the morning show, the midday show, Alex and Go. None of them I can really fool with on that kind of level, but me and you, man, we see things the same way.
You got something going on too, Barber, this weekend too with the Kelce, the cars.
Oh man, the Kelce Jam, the car show is going to be down on 17th, I think, in Walnut, right beside Big Brothers and Big Sisters. I think maybe probably all the money's going to Operation Breakthrough since Kelce's involved. I think his brother Jason's in town. You never know who else is in town. I'm not going to even mention her name, but somebody else might be in town. But man, I'm gonna send you a list. I'm gonna tell you listeners a list of some different cars you might see at the car at our car show. Man, we got a Maybach coming. We have a.
Is that yours?
1963 Ford Falcon, 2023 Corvette Z06 70th anniversary. We got a 1974 Bronco. We got a 2021 GT Mustang 500. A 1965 Scout. I don't even know what a Scout is, but they said that's probably the most expensive car that's going to be there. Man, just a Chevelle SS.
I used to have a Scout.
A McLaurin?
It's my first. No, you got the
Scout before you had a McLaurin?
No, the Scout, the Ford, first 4x4 Scout. Scout made it. It was an International Scout. It's a different car than that, but it was called the International Scout. My first 4x4.
Audi R8, Mercedes-Benz. You probably know what this is. There's a Mercedes-Benz S63.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right down there. And we got a bunch of Shelby, some GTs.
That's fast.
And the best car there is going to be mine. I got a
Mustang?
I got a 2024 Mustang. Ooh. Dark Horse.
There you go.
Yeah, it's going to be vibing. I'm a vibe.
It sucks to be a former pro, man.
Listen. It's a tough life.
You guys are speaking a different language.
Hey, it's going to be a great car show. It's down, like I said, on 17th from 5 to 8 o'clock p.m.
Y'all ain't definitely need none of my cars, huh?
No, we don't. We didn't need any of Desmond's. Desmond has his own car show just on the daily at his house. So
speaking of speed, Desmond and Sean,
let's talk about
Xavier Worthy, man, 4.21 at the combine, blazing. And people say, Cam Taylor Britt at Cincinnati. Say, oh, he just run.
Yeah, he's electric.
Up and down. First of all, if you watch his films at Texas, he did everything. He not only led the Longhorns in receptions and yards, but the last 3 years. But he runs the whole route tree. That was always his thing. And he was very cerebral, blew the Chiefs away, you know, at the combine. Former, you know, academic All Big 12 guy too, Xavier Worthy.
Smart guy, okay.
But, you know, he can do those crossing patterns. He can do a lot of different things, to be honest with you. If you start talking trash to him, he's going to burn you.
Yeah.
And it's going to make you look silly on the field. That was Mahomes' longest pass through the air that he hit Worthy. But his role is going to be increased, don't you think, fellas, with Rashee Rice? We don't know the extent of it. I mean, who knows how long it's going to be. I'm not even going to speculate on what the injury is of the ACL and all that. We'll find out next week for sure. But we definitely know he's not playing this week, and Xavier Worthy will have to step up.
Yeah, I don't know if the role is going to get increased. Just having somebody do more of what they're already doing, I don't know if that means you do, you know, from a bandwidth. I don't know if we're going to widen his bandwidth. I think we just might use him on that vertical push, maybe some of the reverse and some of the screen game. We might use him in some different roles, but maybe not increase the bandwidth of the, you know, kind of what he's doing right now. The worst thing to do, I think, to a young receiver is to try to make him learn every route and all the different plays and all the different positions his first season before he can master any. So I think there's going to be a normal progression as this season goes along. And listen, if somebody else gets hurt, you don't ask Worthy to do more because Rice gets hurt. If Rice gets hurt, there's a backup to Rice.
Yeah.
So whether that's Watson, whether it's McCole, no matter who that receiver is,
Juju,
that is the individual who actually has to step up in, you know, that next man up mentality.
Well, it's definitely been different from what I thought. Going to training camp, having Hollywood and Xavier. That's one thing Andy Reid's done. He only shifts to what he has.
Yeah.
And Jody Fortson, I mentioned him right before we went to break, he's been activated on the 53. Right, he was cut by the Dolphins, former receiver, turned tight end. I think the Chiefs can go a lot of 12 and 13 personnel this week. I mean, with Wiley, with Kelsey, with Noah Gray, I wouldn't expect to see Jody a lot in this game except for special teams. But that's one way to kind of combat the loss of Rice, doing that 12 and 13 personnel, because these guys can all catch at the tight end position.
Absolutely, absolutely. You got a number of athletes. But also I think even Andy, you know, him being an offensive coordinator, the head coach that he is, he kept some depth at wide receiver. You got guys like Juju. You got guys that, you know, 84 that can still come in, that knows different positions within the wide receiver room, and they can fill in. It's not going to be one guy that replaces a name like Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
He's a special talent. I think he even, you know, solidified himself as a true number one in the National Football League. So you can't just go in and replace him. You don't have number ones all the way down the depth chart, but you can do it with a number of guys, and I think Kansas City has them.
And even we go to the practice squad, right? Nico Remigio still there, Justin Ross.
I love Washington. And they could bring them up because Hardman's kind of been banged up. He didn't practice today for the return game. So you might see some Nico this week, maybe. Yeah. I would love to.
Like we,
they haven't officially. They're one day behind because they play till Monday.
Hey, I was an undrafted free agent, man. That's how you get opportunities here. You never want to see a teammate go down, but this is an opportunity.
Carson Steele, same way.
Where would the Atlanta Falcons be if the next man didn't step up, right? Drake London gets hurt. Feels his lung, right? He got his lung removed or something.
He looked fine after the game, by the way.
The defender lost all the wind out of his chest or whatever. The next man gets up there, man, listen, touchdown, end game. I mean, you know what?
Huge play.
Next man up mentality, man.
Yep. Well, I saw these people on Twitter, too, talking. And, you know, it's a cesspool at times because they like to blame the Chiefs on everything. Oh, if there's a Chiefs, they change this rule. No, it's the overtime. Both teams don't get a possession.
Sure.
You do in the postseason. But during the regular season, people don't know the rules. But both teams don't get it. The first team scores a touchdown.
Right.
Game's over. But the postseason is different. People don't realize Tom Brady did that to the Chiefs in the AFC title game. The Chiefs tried to get the rule changed. They didn't do it. They didn't vote on it. Then it happened. It's Buffalo. And then they changed the rule to where both teams have possession in the second half.
Playoffs are different, though.
To be honest with you, I like the college overtime better. I don't know where you sit, Desmond and Sean, but I put on a 25, man. Let's go.
I'm as old school as it get. I'm sudden death. Flip the coin, play some defense, keep them from scoring.
You know what? I like the format right now in the regular season and in the playoffs, and I think it applies for both. Because you don't want to get to a scenario where you have a tie in the playoffs or it gets weird. You know, it's like there's clear-cut rules, but as a defense, you got to go in there and make a stop, and you got to stop from getting a touchdown. And I think, hey, if you can't earn that, then you don't earn the right to win.
I don't know about you guys. I know, playing special teams, for sure, you guys did at times, but this kickoff rule, man.
Hey, would have saved us some,
I remember hearing Belichick saying, hey, if you kick off for 35, just move it back and keep it the same. I hate the onside kick rule, too. It's dumb because you have to – onside kick was the surprise of the other team.
Correct.
100%. Well, you see some on film, you would surprise them. I think it's dumb, man. And it's a one-year deal. Hopefully they'll go back to it. There is a rule that the NFLPA wants to do. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But this kickoff rule is stupid, in my opinion.
I mean, listen, it is what it is. It's trying to make the game safe. But it's like it's always – one step forward, two steps back. You can't tell me we're going to try to make the game safe, but then we're going from 16 games to 18 games.
Well, they want more kickoffs, too. A lot of guys get hurt on that.
If you want to make the games as safe as possible, you should have kept it at 16 games and then continue to just to tweak the rules as they are. But you can't tell us we're adding games to a regular season and then saying in the same breath, well, we're going to make the overall game safer for you guys as athletes. So.
Well, I don't want to see any more tackling rules to protect the game. As a linebacker, I think I've seen enough. Between the horse collar, the high tackle, the low tackle.
Hip tackle.
The hip tackle, the pull down.
And what's passing or roughing the quarterback or not. I mean, Chris Jones been called for that, too. He's trying to fall, man.
You can't lay them down any softer than these guys are getting laid down, man. You gotta tip your hat to some of these old-school quarterbacks, man. Some guys that really took some hits to make some throws.
So you don't know, back in our day, we used to tell the wide receivers, lay down or get laid down.
Right.
So either you just know not to come across, or when you come across, I'm going to show you why you shouldn't have came across.
We need Dane in here that has some balance.
Yeah. We used to have a term called knocking crosses off. That means you literally get to knock, you know, some other terms. You get to knock this guy as much as you want.
Whether the ball was going to him or not. It's just like you stepped in my backyard.
Yep.
I just got my yard fertilized, and I put up a sign and said, do not come in my yard, and you decide to step. Bam.
Yeah, I'm going to put a foot on you.
You got to get out of here, bro. You got to get to moving.
We're at Buffalo Wild Wings, 105th and Metcalf, with Sean Barber, with former Chief Desmond Moses as well, both of them former Chiefs, and just the oldest Buffalo Wild Wings in Kansas City. Come out and say hi. We're here till 8 o'clock. Get that 20-ounce of Bud Light for just $5. We'll take a time when we come back. I want to throw a couple receivers' names out there and see if you guys would take them or not. We'll be back in a minute. And welcome back to 96.5 The Fan, the Fans Football Show. We're at 7030 West 105th on Metcalf in Overland Park, Kansas. The oldest Buffalo Wild Wings in Kansas City. There's 20 ounces of Bud Light for just $5. You can register for some great prizes here, too. One person is going to walk away with that cool neon Super Bowl Chiefs sign by Bud Light as well. Our phone number, 913-586-7965. Chase Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Jay Binkley with former Chief Sean Barber and former Chief Desmond Moses. A couple linebackers here with me now. All right, fellas, I'm going to throw a name out here. I'm going to throw a name out here because, you know, people ask about these names, these wide receiver names. And I always kind of like, yeah, I don't think so. I remember just the linemen. I remember people saying Orlando Brown. I was like, man, ain't going to happen, man. Ravens aren't going to trade someone to their rival. Just like, you know, the Bills gave us the 10th pick, they got Mahomes. They jumped the Bills for McDuffie. They traded the Bills to get Xavier Worthy. Here's the thing. Devontae Adams with the Raiders.
Everybody
I don't see the Raiders, unless the compensation's not there. The Jets and Aaron Rodgers very appealing to Devontae.
I heard the Ravens.
Or Derek Carr. Yeah, he put out Edgar Allan Poe out on Instagram earlier.
I like what Tony said last night. The dark horse in this, and we say dark horse because I got one, but the dark horse in this is the Buffalo Bills, especially with Shakir having some issues now. I mean, they're down on their wide receiver group. They've been down since the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Getting him in the mix with the Buffalo Bills, getting Josh Allen a true number one to replace Stephon
Diggs.
And Josh
Allen's playing well this year. I think he deserves a true number one.
Well, the one thing, too, with Aaron Rodgers, if the Jets go over to England and get smacked by the Vikings, they're 2-3.
Yeah.
And that kind of changes things for Devontae Adams. I wouldn't rule it out, but I can't see them trading a rival. I just now they could do it because other teams have, because the Chiefs wouldn't be the Chiefs without the Bills and the Ravens helping them out, honestly.
Yes.
But the Raiders doing it, man, but they're just dumb enough to do it, so I don't know.
I think at the end of the day, man, it comes down to who's making the call. If it comes down to Antonio Pierce, I think at the end of the day, he's going to try to trade him to the Carolina Panthers or whoever you consider the worst teams, the New York Giants. You're going to try to trade a guy that doesn't want to play for you to like a like an insignificant team.
But are the Jets one of those teams? Because I think that would be a landing spot that would Davante Adams would be.
Well, he loves that Aaron Rodgers, and that's always been the big connection, you know.
And they got a team, a young team with a little bit of a nucleus. I think they're missing a receiver. He could be the missing piece there.
No, I like the way it ends up looking out for the Jets. I just don't think that Anthony Pierce. I think at the end of the day, he's going to be a little bitter, man.
It's emotional right now over there. It's emotional.
You know, that's why I said, who's making the calls? You know, for the Jets, is it Aaron Rodgers or is it, you know, Salah? Who's making the calls? Is it Davante Adams?
Those two get along. He said they do, but I don't. Another name too. Well, keep in mind the Chiefs are 4.7 or 4.6 under the cap, whether you're looking at spot rack or over. So the money's not there.
Sure.
Tyreek would be like $1.4 million, but the Dolphins would have to spend a bunch of money on it to not get but just a few games with him this year. They had him last year. But Tyreek Hill, is that a guy that you would take back on this team? Because imagine when Hollywood comes back and Rashee Rice. Imagine that wide receiving, Tana, if Tyreek was part of it. Again, far-fetched, but the Chiefs are the Vegas favorites for Tyreek Hill.
Look, I'll start this off because, as my former teammate, man, you know, with Tyreek, he's one of those guys that are game breakers. You know, you really can't put a true value on the things that he does because even away from the ball, he's so effective. The way he stretches the defense, he's partially what made Kelce so effective underneath because those safety have to play so much deeper. He's a guy also, you know, for the locker room, he's a good guy to be around, a great teammate for anybody, especially the Kansas City Chiefs and the familiarity there. I think he would be a gem coming back.
I've always said, as far as former Chiefs are concerned, there's two guys that stand out to me that were drafted as one guy and became a different guy.
Yeah.
And that was Jared Allen and Tyreek Hill. Because Tyreek Hill, I mean, this guy, you know, he played running back a lot at Oklahoma State and West Alabama, but he, you know, was on the return team. They started just putting more wide receiver packages, but he runs the route tree incredibly. Like, he built himself up. Jared Allen, same way. He came as a long snapper from Idaho State and became one of the best sack artists in the NFL. Those two have really bulked themselves up. Obviously, there's familiarity with Tyreek Hill. I think this fan base, as much as he said on his podcast or whatever, when it comes down to football, they like him.
With open arms.
And listen, you would see the odds for the Chiefs winning that three-peat quadruple. Wherever we are right now, all the big whales, all the bets will come in on the Kansas City Chiefs if we were finding a way to add Tyreek.
Who'd win, him or Worthy in that 40, though?
Man, I don't think anybody in this league is faster than Tyreek Hill.
Man, so Tyreek has Worthy, another gear, man.
He's faster than Hardman because they've raced, but Xavier Worthy, man.
Tyreek wants to race
Usain Bolt.
It's a difference.
That explosiveness, man. Tyreek, he has a different sound when he runs, man. There's a sound you're used to.
He's built like a linebacker.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's the rhythm of the feet as they hit the ground. Well, his is in fast forward, man. He's a special guy. I wouldn't put my money on anybody above him in a race.
Yeah, now, Amari Cooper is one of those that could feasibly. Yeah. $600,000 is what they'd be on the hook. That's a guy, you know, it's had a couple thousand-yard seasons in the NFL. But financially, I can see that one working out with the Chiefs.
But, Bing, if we're talking about trying to win a three-peat.
I know what you're saying.
That's something that's never been done in NFL history.
Nope.
You can't pinch pennies. You can't be watching the wallet if you're trying to win a championship. At the point, all the financials got to kind of just go to the win and say, you know what, let's take 2025's budget. Let's forward it to 2024. Let's win this three-peat. And guess what? Next year, nobody's getting re-signed. Like, if you got a contract up in 2025, we just use your money.
I'm kind of with you because Dayton Moore pushed all in. We've seen Billy Beane do it with the A's before he lost to the Royals.
When you were this close.
And we saw him trade five pitchers for Cueto and Zobrist and those guys, left-hand pitchers. But as far as guys coming in, I could see that being – I'm with you on that three-peat. That's just a special thing.
Yeah.
When you get to play. I was in the camp because Veach had said something, too, before the draft that, you know, well, Hollywood's here for 1 year. And we all thought, like, Hollywood's going to be here 1 year. It's going to be Andy Reid calling the plays. Mahomes doing to him. He's going to get the bag, right? He's going to get that money.
Yeah.
But with him being hurt, I'm sitting here going, I'm not 100% sure he didn't come back here for 1 year for a decent contract. I thought he was going to be good as gone, but I could see the Chiefs bringing Hollywood back.
Well, I think you definitely have to bring him back because no one's going to – take him because he didn't play this whole season.
There's no value there.
I think the only person that's value towards is our team. Mm-hmm. And so, again, like, I think you just got to have to make a decision. How bad do you want to win a third in a row championship? And I think we had a great opportunity. We were one of four teams to begin the season when we had Hollywood Brown and we had Rashee Rice, we had Pacheco. Well, that's three truly number one assets on offense that are all down now pretty much until at least weeks 12, 13. I think at this point you have to look at it and say, all right, well, now we might have to spend some extra unexpected cap room from 2025. I mean, just to remain competitive for this season to give us a chance at that three-peat.
And this is my other piece. Is you also got to think about the gel, you know, the camaraderie of a team. You know, even a guy like Amari Cooper, I don't know if he'd be a great fit because of the ego factor. You got to put that into account, especially bringing a guy in midseason into a room with young guys. It's the best fit for me. The one that makes the most sense is Tyreek Hill, again, because of the familiarity. He knows how Andy likes things.
Yep.
Andy's a guy who he's going to manage you closely, you know, and he's going to make sure you're doing the right things, and you just don't have time to get guys on board if they're not already on there, especially midseason when you're trying to do something special like win a three-peat.
It's the culture. Both of you guys, of course, Desmond Moses and Sean Barber, played for Andy Reid here in Kansas City. We'll take a time. When we come back, I'm going to ask you guys something the NFLPA put out earlier. I don't know if you've seen it. I agree with that 100%. We'll see if the NFL changes it, but I'm curious about your guys' thoughts. I'll bring that up next. And welcome back to Buffalo Wild Wings, the original in Kansas City, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Linebacking legends here, myself, Sean Barber, and you guys gotta stop laughing. We got TVs all over the place in Buffalo Wild. Let's go Sports Park.
Hey,
let's go Sports Park.
For real.
Let's go Sports Park.
You know what this is? This is the LBC at B Dubs.
Yeah,
at BW3. The LBC linebacker crew.
Linebacker crew.
At BW3, which we found out what that meant.
And get a 20-ounce Bud Light for $5. There's sports all over. I love going to sports bars like this just to watch all the games and consume. This is the place to do it. And, hey, Monday night, you may want to come here so you can watch some Royals and some Chiefs at the same time.
They got enough TVs to watch it, right?
They do have enough TVs. But sign up for that Super Bowl neon sign, which would look great in a man cave. Or actually, I'd put that in the living room. I'm not married. It didn't matter. I'd put it right there in the living room, that Super Bowl neon man cave. Oh, yeah, yeah. My ex, don't get me started on that. But she turned into a bulldog, man. But anyway.
Did we finish the wideout conversation?
No, we're gonna talk. Go ahead. We'll finish the wideout conversation.
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's going to finish it, but the guy I'm hoping that we at least take a look at is Darius Slayton with the Giants.
I take Slayton.
Right? 2019 draft pick. He's been with the Giants the whole time. He's had some productive years.
Do we want more receivers from the Giants, though? Do we want any more of those guys?
I don't – listen, I am not – listen, my scars.
Okay.
I don't take past scars into the future. So whatever's been done, I'm not. I don't. This guy, I think, is a top notch receiver who's been underused. I think it's hard to account for what happened in New York because, listen, we know Danny Dimes.
Yeah,
he is what he is.
He is
not a great passer of the ball.
Then you start Drew Lock, Kansas City kid.
Oh, yeah, that's what they need to do, but they won't because they put so much money already locked into Danny Dimes. I think a guy like that comes in. He's not going to take much, not much draft capital, not much against the cap.
Homer Richie James and Kadarius Toney.
Again,
keep going, Barber.
I would bring him in. Let's kick the tires and see if he can do it. I think we would be pleasantly surprised where he ranks as far as the wide receivers are that are currently in the building.
I'm 100% for whatever because I look at it this way. You're only going to have a quarterback like this once, as good as Mahomes once. Keep fueling him up, man. Give him weapons. Like, it is time to keep giving Patrick Mahomes weapons. We'll get back to that, the running backs and the wide receivers as well. We'll look forward to this Monday's game against the Saints. The NFLPA put out an announcement this week. I want to get your guys' thoughts on it, both former players. As I agree with that, I've seen it from the other side,
okay,
the media side, going to locker rooms. I don't do it anymore, but I cut my teeth doing it. Did it a lot. And you guys used to, you know, media standing right there. When you're trying to get changed,
oh, yeah,
trying to ask you questions. And the NFLPA is like, man, we don't need to have reporters in the locker room. You know,
Not at all.
Can do it. College does that. You know, you wait for them in the interview room, and they bring different guys in there. Because guys would be happy to go talk to you, I think. So I agree with them 100% because that's kind of your space to unwind and, you know, calm, get your thoughts together besides saying something you don't want to. And, you know, you got to have some privacy too, man. I mean, I'm 100% for that. I don't know where you guys come out on that. But I think this is actually – now, it's not a rule yet with the NFL, but the NFLPA put it out.
Yeah, they're considering it. You know what? I think it's fair, you know. And I think the time frame in which from the end of the game until they can come in, I think also needs to
– Yeah, we don't need to be in there.
Yeah, you know, 5 minutes after, 10 minutes after, you know, you got to think about, as a professional football player, 3 hours of emotional. It's like a 3-hour fist fight, man. Mm-hmm. Even your adrenaline, some of the things you said, we've seen interviews where people might have said things they would, you know, would take back ideally. But just give them time as the players. I think this is a great way to set a boundary for players to come out. That way they can beat themselves.
There's
once
no way,
they interview.
No reason, Desmond, not to have, you know, guys filter in at different tables or whatever after a game, and you go talk to them. Like college, like the media puts in, hey, bring in the linebacker, bring in the wide receiver, bring all this. They'll request who you bring in. I think guys are more apt to do it because, to be honest with you, I always cringe going in those locker rooms because it's kind of like that's your space, man.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. You respect and you can tell some guys are just emotional. You know, I've seen a few interviews last week. You know, Jamar Chase interview. It's like these guys are still sweating. If a guy still has sweat from a game, he probably needs a few more moments.
I'll never forget, though, Thomas Jones. Remember those biceps Thomas Jones had? Because Ed Hockley was doing their game. I said, whose biceps are bigger, yours or Ed Hockley? I mean, I wasn't exactly the most serious dude. Sure. Went in there, got like to have a little bit of fun. But I was like, because Thomas Jones was huge, man.
Oh,
he didn't mess with that dude.
Another UVA product.
Another UVA
right?
product,
the UVA boys, multi-talented. Man. You gotta, you know what? At some point in your life, you gotta flex a little bit. And so I know you get to the league, and everybody's all about making plays, and everybody's at your stats. At some point, you gotta let them stats just go to the side, and you gotta get in that weight room, and you gotta realize, man, listen, I gotta get these pipes right, I gotta get these arms right. You know what I'm saying? I gotta do the curls for the girls and all that kind of stuff. You want to get everything looking right.
Skies out, thighs out.
Skies.
That's the new thing, man, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, you know
Hoochie
what?
Daddy the short shorts, man.
They call them Hoochie Daddy,
I'm still wearing the long shorts,
yeah,
man.
I'm part of the Allen Iverson crew, so we were still wearing the baggy shorts, the Fab Five. That's the generation that I grew up in. So our shorts was long to our knees.
Well, I still wear them like that.
So I got to say, man, I'm part of the thighs out.
You're rocking the thighs out, skies out crew? out, guns out.
The new generation is here.
Well, what about you, Barb? Did you ever, like, change in the locker room like that when people want to ask you questions and you're trying to, you know, dry yourself off?
Nah, man. I, you know what? I had respect for whoever was in there. I mean, I kept it real, like, you know, I kept it real business-like. I would go over my mind the, like, five things I was going to say. So no matter what question they asked me, I was going to reply with the same five things no matter what.
Really?
Like, I already
keep
had
out of trouble.
I had my five bullet
like
points.
Brady, yeah.
You know, hey, man, what about the defense? Y'all was put in some serious bad situations, short fields. The offense turned it over, gave up 10 points before. Yeah, man, you know what? We just looking at ourselves. There's some things against the run we want to work on. We want to get after the quarterback. We want to stop the run. And then we want to make plays and close out the game. So, hey, man, you know what? We're going to go back to work. We got a game plan. I'm looking forward to next week's opponent. Like
this way it really is, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. What about this? What if someone said, hey, yeah, McNabb, man, he's in a rut right now. He's throwing all these interceptions, putting you guys back on the field all the time. What are you seeing there?
Oh, Super 5 is going to be Super 5. But defensively, we got some things we want to work
on. Right.
You guys are so serious, man.
Repeat the question back to him, and then go right back to what I was saying. That's great. You know what? I'm glad you asked me that about Donovan. Man, Super 5 is going to be Super 5. But defensively, I just go right back to
who
my
Who taught you that? Yourselves or player or the PR staff?
Somebody from the PR staff when I got to the Eagles, actually.
Yeah.
Smart.
I don't recall who it is, but one of the guys told me, hey, when the reporter asks you a question, repeat the question right back to him, and then as quick as you can, get back to your 5 points you're trying to make.
I probably learned that at my time at the University of Iowa. You know, Coach Ferentz is one of the best with you know, talking to the media and interacting with the media. But, yeah, he always said, don't throw your teammate under the bus. Don't give the other team any bulletin board material. Say the right thing. Do the right thing.
You know, we see a couple times, speaking of throwing yourself under the bus, because I never forget J.C. Pearson was in here with us when we were in Belton. And I used to do a show with J.C., but he always told us, man, he was like, his famous quote was, always treat us like grown-ass men. That's what we want. That's what J.C. always said. But Brian Callahan had thrown Will Levis, I felt, under the bed. Like, he was terrible or something like that. This was quarterback and his captain. He can't do that. Doug Peterson. He was not long for the world either when he was kind of throwing his team under the bus because he can't throw it and catch it either kind of comments to paraphrase it. But that's one thing with Andy Reid, you guys both know, he ain't going to blame anybody. He's not throwing any – he wouldn't blame Tony, cares. He wouldn't blame anybody because that's not what he does. And
not
I understand
media.
It. I don't know if that's what he really means, but he's not going to say it.
Yeah. I don't care if we win by 50, lose by 50. It's a tie ball game. He's going to state this at some point. It's up to me to put guys in better positions to make plays.
Yeah,
you gonna at some point in the interview, you're gonna hear Andy say, "As coaches, we got to put the guys in better places to make better plays.
Yeah.
That's on us. We got to game plan better. We got to watch. We got to do things as a staff before we hold. You know, do anything as far as the players.
And I'll tell you, as a player, you know that gives you a sense of confidence because, you know, you've been in a position, I'm sure Barbershop can attest to, where, you know, you had coaches that didn't quite have your back. you know, you don't know if these guys are going to freaking, you know, throw you out to the wolves in front of the media, and then you have to go answer for yourself. When you have a coach that you know is going to go out there, say the right things, not show you up, and allow you to come back to work next week, improve, and get better, it always gives you a little bit of
peace of mind. To be honest with you, speaking with the Royals here, Ned Yost used to be like that too.
Yeah.
Because he'd go to the locker room first or the clubhouse first, then he'd come in and do the interview. But he would always – like, that's the one thing with Ned. Like, he got a lot of blame early on, but he was taking a lot of blame for the players. I could tell when he was doing it.
Yeah.
And they respect that, man, because they sit there and watch that. They knew that he was taking – oh, I sent him on that steal or whatever. No, you did. He had a great we know you did, Ned, but you taking the bullets for him. I respect that, man. It reminds me of Andy Reid.
Yeah, he's like – Ned's like, I didn't even give him a – yeah, he's got the green light. I told him that at the beginning of the game. Yeah, he's been doing great all year long. We certain guys that have the green light to go when they want to, and then certain guys got to wait for a signal. Yeah, I sent them. That's on me. I got to be smarter. I got to watch, you know, get a pitch or two into the count. Baseball is so unique, man. It's a treasure to where our boys in blue are going right now. Having a chance to go against the number one seed, the Yankees, and do some things. I know this is a Chiefs show, but, man, like the brotherly love, the atmosphere here in Kansas City. Right, high tides raise all ships.
Yeah,
well, there's a lot of people been asking me weren't the Tigers playing the Yankees? Because, you know, normal formats, the number one seed plays the sixth seed. Because the Royals are fifth seed. They're ahead of the Tigers. But yet the Royals are going, instead of playing the Guardians, they're playing the Yankees. So people ask me that all the time. Well, why are the Royals playing? It's because baseball set it up so to make sure that the division winner does not play. So the one seed doesn't have to play the division winner in round two. Like, had the Astros won, they don't want them playing the Yankees in the second round. But Sean Barber's here, Desmond Moses, Quinn Morris back in the studio.
It's the LBC.
We'll take a timeout just a minute. We'll come back and talk running backs this time. I know it's on the other side of the ball for you guys, but I definitely want to hear your thoughts on the Kansas City Chiefs running situation.